Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, October the 1st, we're going to spend the last 10 minutes of the program talking with Bishop Keith Ackerman about potential successors to Dr. Rowan Williams, who's the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, I think worldwide Anglicanism is currently numbered at right around 80 million people. That makes it a significant segment of Christendom. And it has been rocked in the last 40 or 50 years with just about every theological movement that most large segments of Christendom have been. It has that thorny problem of what to do with its so-called American province, the Episcopal Church, that seems bent upon moving itself and, if it could, worldwide Anglicanism in a radically liberal direction away from biblical inerrancy and toward the radical homosexual agenda. And I wonder whether or not the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Catherine Jefford Shorey, from her perspective on this side of the Atlantic, is going to like any of the prospects that are potential successors to Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Join us to discuss changes afoot in the Anglican Communion. Bishop Keith Ackerman, he's former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, and president of Forward in Faith, a reform group of worldwide Anglicanism. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Tom. What a joy to be able to hear your voice and to be able to connect with this wonderful viewing audience.
I wonder, how much does it matter? Because they often refer to the Archbishop of Canterbury as the titular head of worldwide Anglicanism.
Yes.
It's a symbolic, largely symbolic thing. How much does it matter who the Archbishop of Canterbury ultimately is?
Well, it's a good question because it operates on a couple of different levels. For the Church of England, it's absolutely critical, and that's because of the fact that the Archbishop of Canterbury is the primus inter pares. He ranks above the Archbishop of York. There are two provinces or convocations in England. But once Anglicanism was more than an English reality and it spread throughout the world, the question was, to whom do we look for leadership? And traditionally it has been to the Archbishop of Canterbury. So while it means different things to different people, for the English it literally means he who can speak for the church. For the rest of the Anglican world, it means he who gathers us together.
Rowan Williams is obviously hanging up his mitre, and he will retire. He's had a relatively peaceful tenure here. His successors, do you know any of them, or the potential successors, shall we say? Do you know any of them?
Yes, I know all of them. Archbishop Sentinel, who is the Archbishop of York, I met just after he was consecrated Bishop of Stepney. Fascinating fellow. He's Ugandan. And if he were elected, it would have an international reality because a great deal of the tension in Anglicanism is over the issues that you've mentioned, I might add, which you did well, can we contain the Global South, the Global South being most upset with the trends that have taken place in North America in both the Episcopal Church and in the Canadian Church. In one sense, Archbishop Sentamu would be a remarkable choice. Keep in mind that the Archbishop of Canterbury is not always English. And the current Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, not an Englishman, he's a Welshman. And that was, it had been a while since there had been someone other than an Englishman in that position. Archbishop Sentamu is certainly an English citizen, but is Ugandan heritage and a former solicitor.
And I take it from the news reports that I heard about him over the weekend, he represents something, well, to put it bluntly, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA, Catherine Jefford Shorey, would not be pleased with this choice if it were Sentamu.
I believe that's absolutely correct. And if she would not be pleased with that, she'd be less pleased with the Bishop of London, Bishop Richard Sharpe. And that's because he's even more conservative. He is what we would usually call the third-ranking prelate. That is the usual pecking order in the Church of England, and thus would be significant to the rest of the Anglican Communion, would be number one, Archbishop of Canterbury, number two, Archbishop of York, number three, Bishop of London, and then usually number four would be Winchester, and usually number five would be Rochester.
So who else is in the possible running here?
Well, the third bishop who was announced could be easily a kind of compromise. And let me tell you why, because the two I've just mentioned would be on the conservative side, and most certainly the Bishop of London more so. He is the former chaplain to Archbishop Runcie, a former Archbishop of Canterbury, and he's well known to many people. In fact, for the Anglophiles and those who enjoy the royalty, you'll see his face because he was at Princess Diana's funeral. He also preached the sermon at Prince William's wedding, and he is an inside favorite of the Prince of Wales.
You mentioned, before we move on to the others, you mentioned that the first two we talked about, Sensimou and Chartres, both of those, that of the two, as conservative as the first is, the second is more conservative? How so?
Yeah, the Bishop of London does not only, he not only does not support the new trends in the Episcopal Church as it relates to human sexuality, but he does not ordain women. And that, in England, is a pretty tough issue right now because the next assembly, that is what we would call synod, is going to be dealing with the whole issue of women being ordained and consecrated as bishops. The Bishop of London would not be a supporter of that.
What is the? I know it's hard to talk about an official stance in Anglicanism because there's an awful lot of latitude that is permitted there, but what would you say is the current stance on the issue of the ordination of women in worldwide Anglicanism, especially not only ordination of the priesthood, but to the level of bishop?
I would say it's an interesting thing among the Anglicans who call themselves evangelicals. They would, in many instances, be supportive of women as priests because they say, well, you know, that a woman can function as an elder, she just shouldn't be the chief pastor. Well, that isn't what traditional Anglicans would be able to say. We would say that that shows a lack of consistency. And as it relates to in the episcopacy, I would have to say the vast majority of Anglicans do not support the consecration of women. It's interesting that the provinces that have endorsed the ordination of women, primarily, are the provinces that are shrinking the most rapidly.
How did it come to be that the ordination of women became of currency in at least those provinces?
Well, I think it's because of a cultural confusion. That is, it became an issue of equality rather than a complementarity. And tragically, we live in a very unsophisticated culture, it seems to me, when it comes to the doctrine of the incarnation and the doctrine of creation. And we tend to look at things from a justice perspective first. It used to be that we would think theologically, and then we would discover ways that we could explain it sociologically. All too often today, we think sociologically, and then we attempt to find something that will support it theologically or biblically. It's a reversal of the usual way of functioning. In addition, in the culture today, it is no longer the classic method of debate. The older and classic understanding of debate was that the burden of proof is always to be placed on those who seek to change something. The culture in which we live today, particularly in North America, deals with the idea that the burden of proof is on those who seek to maintain something.
So if, obviously you are not going to be making the choice, but if you had your choice, all things, other things being equal, who would you be hoping would be the successor to Rowan Williams as Archbishop of Canterbury? And why?
It would be the Bishop of London for about four reasons. First of all, he's a little bit older. And that would mean that there would be this opportunity of a transitional period because, although long live the Queen, the reality is we don't know how long live the Queen. And so having an Archbishop of Canterbury who's just a little bit older, keeping in mind the current Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, who was one of the youngest ever to be made Archbishop of Canterbury in modern times, again, another favorite of Prince Charles, I would add. Given the whole state of the royal family right now, it would seem to me, pragmatically speaking, that they would want to select somebody that they could work with, because this Archbishop of Canterbury may very well be the one who crowns the next monarch. So that would be one.
About 30 seconds here.
Yeah. Finally, I would just say that his defense of traditional prayer book and theology is well known. And yet, for those who disagree with them, they find the Bishop of London to be a very fair man.
Do you think, with only about 20 seconds here, that regardless of the more obvious successors here, do you think any of them are going to please the Episcopal Church USA?
No, I don't. I really do not. And, of course, the Prime Minister is involved in this situation, too. It's very unlike American politics and American ecclesiology. People don't sit around and vote for their favorite. It's a much more elaborate process.
Bishop Keith Ackerman is a former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, and he's president of Forward in Faith, a reform group of worldwide Anglicanism. We'll post a link to Forward in Faith under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bishop Ackerman, thank you very much for being our guest.
Absolutely. And when I'm in the UK next week, I will greet the candidates for you.
Thank you very much. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about the Christian conscience on issues like life and marriage and family and religious freedom. He's written a fascinating piece on the Ten Commandments, a voter's guide to the Ten Commandments, and we'll talk with him about that tomorrow on Issues Etc. One would hope, I certainly hope, that our brothers and sisters in the Anglican Communion, 80 million strong in the world, will, with the trans, I think we could look at Rowan Williams as a transition from bad to better, and that we might have a better choice here, and that it might be more obvious that what's going on in the liberalist province of Anglicanism, the Episcopal Church, is an aberration, as it is in the history of the entire church. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.